Hi, welcome to Foreplay. This is Lori Watson, sex therapist and author of Wanting Sex Again, with my co-host, Tony Delmedico, who's our psychotherapist. And we are here to talk about all things intimate and all things sexual and really help you get the most out of your sex life.
You can check us out on the web at foreplayrst.com. Let us know what you think and let us know what you want to hear about. Sex Talk with Lori and Tony. Lori, where will Foreplay lead us today?
Tony, today we are all about variety.
Yay.
Yay, he says.
Variety is the spice of life.
Absolutely.
Well, I've brought my list, Lori, and it's alphabetical. So
hopefully
we'll be hitting all the letters at least once.
Right, okay.
A is anywhere, anytime.
That's a good one for A, absolutely.
B would be what? In the back seat?
The back seat.
C would be change.
Change.
So change it up. We're always after the kids have gone to sleep or on Saturday morning.
And I find that often one partner really craves this variety more than the other partner. Do you find that as well?
In general, somebody wanting to mix it up a little more than the other? I don't know. You've got far more experience than I do as a sex therapist.
Okay, so I think that men talk more about wanting variety. I will say sometimes a woman comes in and she says, you know, I have low desire. And often I find that after we peel away the layers, that means that she actually is more erotic than her partner and she's kind of given up. So she's put her eroticism on the back shelf, you know, that might have included her ideas about variety or her ideas about what she wants in bed. But for whatever reason, she's tabled that and now she doesn't really want to do it.
So what you're saying is these guys who talk the big talk, once you start looking at it, maybe they're not as adventurous as they say they want to be. Maybe we're just more meat and potatoes guys after all.
No, I think sometimes it's dynamic, you know, that sometimes one person kind of holds the quantity of I'm the one who's creative and sexy and you're the one who is kind of the stick in the mud. I mean, do you notice how couples hold quantities of many different things? You know, I'm the one who's smart about this and, you know, I'll take care of you. Or I'm the angry one. Or I'm the one who's patient with the children. I'm the one who knows everything about the children. It's like they kind of split up quantities and oftentimes this creative part gets split and one person seems to claim all responsibility.
And you're saying women are far more erotic and imaginative than the culture is allowing. And I'm wondering if that's...
Sometimes.
I'm wondering if that's threatening to the male ego.
Yeah, I mean, I would say some women are really shut down too. But sometimes, yes, women, they're often whisperers. You know, they do talk about what they like and maybe what they want to experiment with. But then if it's not heard well, they give up. And, you know, women often say it once and done. they'll say it one time and then they don't keep putting it out there. So tell me about variety. What's on your list there, Tony?
Well, we got through A, B, and C very quickly. I'm wondering if we have anything for D.
A, B, and C. Anniversary, birthday, and Christmas sex. Is that what you're talking about?
Hopefully a little more variety than that.
Oh, good. Holiday sex.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Well, I'm wondering, again, we've talked in previous episodes about how do couples talk about sex?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how a couple has this conversation about variety. And, you know, is it safe to put out there some of the things that you've fantasized about or some things you've done in the past and you want to do again? Or, you know, can your partner receive that without a whole lot of shame or blame? Or
yeah, I think one difficulty is if we put out the fantasy of what we want in bed, there's two possibilities. You know, our partner says, you know, wow, where'd you learn that? You know, did you learn that from someone else?
Which can be threatening.
You know, and they're worried about an affair. Did you learn that recently from someone else? Or the other thing is, you know what? You can think like this and you don't tell me these things. You've been holding out on me on your creative thoughts all this time. And, you know, we've been pulling down the sheets, you know, getting ready, doing it, getting cleaned up, you know, going to bed. It's like it can be so boring. And that thought of our partner withholding from us their creative ideas can be really threatening too.
Is it? I think that's fabulous, Lori.
And disappointing.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's okay to be creative and have and push for variety after being with someone for 5 years or 10 years or even 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it okay to keep pushing that envelope for couples?
I think that there is a difference. I think reasons that people get into ruts, right? I think for women, their patterns of arousal are often a little more staid than a male pattern. I mean, little boys learn to masturbate standing up in the bath, you know,
when the wind blows.
When the wind blows, you know, I mean, they learn their bodies in such a more varied way. Whereas women often learn, little girls often learn to have an orgasm and masturbate too. 70% of all women learn how to have an orgasm through masturbation, but that's something that we don't talk about very much. But they often learn in a pattern that is not partner accessible, many times on their belly, and they learn one way. They don't learn to masturbate in multiple ways. And so they're a little more anxious about sex in terms of, will it be what I need to get there? You know, all these fancy turn me upside down, pancake flipping kind of stuff that you see on porn. She's like, yeah, but it doesn't really do it for me. You know, so he may be very aroused and enjoy all that, whereas for her, it's not getting her up the mountain. She's not getting closer to orgasm, so she's not as enthralled by the whole idea.
And I'm wondering, quite frankly, if variety exists more before couples get married or with someone you don't know, mm-hmm. like a hookup or a short-term girlfriend mm-hmm. or boyfriend. We seem to be much freer.
Don't get me started on hookups.
And creative. I think we've talked about
you
that in a previous episode.
What I'm going to say about hookups.
But I think it's hard to
again, the women don't get theirs on hookups, just for the record, if you haven't listened to another podcast.
But I think I think they're far more open to variety on the front end.
Yeah,
and I think, but I don't want to make it a male-female thing.
But why
I think
is
that's
that?
True. I think that's true for both.
Why do you think that is, that we're more open to variety, you know, before this length of time goes on?
Well, we've talked about this on other episodes. I think the key word, it's the V word. It's the vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have anything at stake if we can swing from the rafters and we just met 2 hours ago.
Right. If you don't like what I've suggested, I can walk.
Yeah.
You know, and if it doesn't turn out well, I can get out of it. But I think in a partner where that person becomes more important to us and dearer and more precious, their rejection of what we might suggest, you know, like you often say, it could wound us more deeply. Or if it doesn't turn out well, I mean, so many couples kind of lose their sense of humor in bed. You know, if it doesn't turn out well, so what? There's tomorrow. But if they're only having sex once a month, you know, and it doesn't turn out well, that could be really
It's not much to build on. Yeah, we're a bit on life support
right.
as we go.
And if they're only going to try something once or once a year, you know, there's no way to perfect it. There's no way to make it, you know, good.
Or expand on it or create off of it. So
right.
I think what we're saying is that there's a natural tendency for couples over time to have their bandwidth of creativity and variety really narrow. And so you've got to work towards opening that back up.
Yeah,
again.
It's natural. And like you said, I think it's what happens, but it isn't necessarily good for their sex life, right?
Right. No, I would
Because
agree.
I think variety does help everybody. It gives it an edge that makes it more erotic. You know, if we do the same thing day in, day out, or week in, week out, it's
year
just not
in,
as
year out.
It's just not as exciting.
Yeah.
But another thing that comes up for me is, you know, one of the problems why couples don't suggest new things or try new things is anxiety, just their own anxiety about the thing. You know, the A, the B, the C pattern, whatever their partner wants to try, they feel anxious about it because of so many reasons. You know, it's maybe it was taboo. Maybe their childhood, you know, they heard something about that act and they've always had in their mind that that act was dirty or bad or wrong or whatever. And so they already feel anxious about it when their partner brings it up.
And we're also coming out of a paradigm where 50 years ago in some religions, sex was simply for procreation. So we're talking about really being creative and playful, and that's what foreplay,
RST,
is all about.
Yeah, there's cultural things, and obviously the way we were raised, our own families have very unique ways and messages about sex. It can be a problem. I had a girlfriend who her husband really wanted to do something with her, and I've known her all my life, and I'm just like, you know, she is just not going there. I know she's not going there. It's like, You are content. You are spoiling your sex life, because she was a really good sexual partner. But I kept saying to him, you're spoiling your sex life by continuing to push for this thing. It's a no. I understand for you, it's a big deal and you really want that. But it's a no. And you have, you know, you have 85% of what you want. You know, you're pushing for the 15 and you're wrecking the 85. There is a point, I think, in time, sometimes in our sex life, that we need to say, big disappointment, my partner's not going there. And I mean, I have to grieve the fact that I don't ever get to do that.
Lori, I would agree with you, but as a psychotherapist, it is uncanny how the human mind goes to the thing that is taken off the table.
Right. The
negative. So those 85, even 95, 97% of the things that are mm-hmm. all yeses, mm-hmm. the human mind focuses on that 3%.
What's missing?
And just starts trying to bore a hole in it.
Yeah, we do.
So
we
it's
do.
Hard
You're
to
right,
let
Tony.
Go. It's like a dog on a bone almost.
You are
it becomes
yeah.
the bone of contention.
Yeah. So, or the, yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. Our
well,
minds.
Yeah, we're approaching okay. the end of the first part of the program. Variety is the spice of life. We've been talking about the whys and wherefores. And Lori, in the second half, hopefully we'll be giving our listeners some juicy ideas.
Oh, boy.
To spice it up.
Okay.
So stay with us. We'll be back for some more foreplay. I'm Tony Delmedico, psychotherapist, with Lori Watson, author and sex therapist.
Wanting Sex Again. How to Rediscover Desire and Heal a Sexless Marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Welcome back to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. Thanks for snuggling up with us for the second half of Variety is the Spice of Life. I'm Tony Delmedico, psychotherapist, with my co-host, Lori Watson, author and sex therapist. Lori, in the first half, we jumped in with the alphabet for Variety of Spice of Life. We got to A, B, and C very quickly.
Yes.
And D, I think, is
what we got
stuck on.
What you got, Delmedico, for D?
I think D is just a little bit of dirty talk. So every now and then, just do something. We're talking about variety, just a little bit different. If you're not into dirty talk, just try it. See what happens. See what your partner thinks. See how you feel about it.
Wait.
Oh, I'm ready to go. I got E, F, and G all lined up here. We'll slow down.
Slow down. You know, I'm always saying slow it down.
Just get excited.
Okay. I think, you know, dirty talk is fun. If just a hint for the guys out there who want to talk dirty and their partners, their female partners don't, you know, first of all, I would ask her, and I have a chart on my website, by the way, awakenloveandsex.com. There's a chart there in the resource section about different ways to talk about sex, different languages. One is dirty, one is slang, one is playful, one is romantic. And sometimes what men say is dirty is really her slang. So he's saying, talk dirty to me. And if he would say, use these words, use this, she would be more for it. She would do it. She just doesn't know what he means. And I would say so many people, men and women, when they say talk dirty, they mean talk explicit. Tell me really explicitly about what you're feeling, about what you want. It's not necessarily the F-bomb, right? It's not just that. I mean, dirty talk can be, it can mean something different. So I think you need
gotcha.
To talk about
Wonderful.
What does it mean when you say talk dirty?
Lori, I'm so glad you slowed us down here. The 2020 rule,
sure
once
are.
Again, just continues to pay off in spades.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And E, I think edibles.
Edibles. Like edible what?
Like edible whatever you can find that's edible. On your partner or on yourself. Whipped cream?
Yeah, whipped cream, chocolate sauce.
You've mentioned coconut oil in previous episodes.
There is a good lubricant that is edible. It's called Fireworks, and I don't know if you can find it out there anymore. I have not been able to find it for a long time, but I'm sure it's still manufactured, and it's great for oral sex because it really has a decent taste. You know, believe it or not, I'm a sex therapist. I went to one of those passion parties or whatever they are. Never been to one. You know, they pulled out all kinds of stuff, and I made sure I tasted everything that they, every product that they had. And this was the only decent product out there. And it was fun. The other thing you can do, speaking of edibles and
there's
Freudian
a Freudian slip.
Edibles. You know, with oral sex, you can use like one of those Altoid mints. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if the partner is a little anxious about taste, they can do that. And then they can blow gently over their partner's skin, and that can, that menthol, you know, breeze can feel really good. And it kind of sears both the nose and the taste. So if those are anxieties about oral sex, that can be really wonderful.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Hot and cold, too. Hot and cold taste, you know, hot tea, iced tea, and then giving oral sex. Those two different temperatures are fun.
Wonderful. Lori, what have you got for some variety? I've been dropping alphabets on you.
Okay. You know, one thing that I hear consistently from women is the variety of speeding it up and slowing it down and the variety of energy. So more women than not talk about that they want a lot of energy from their male partner. So this kind of blast that we see in the movies. See, my female camera person is nodding her head when I say that. Can we turn the camera back on Lucy?
She who must not be named.
You know, I think that this desire for his energy like really sets her off. I mean, it is a big cue for women. And oftentimes men don't do that because they've been shut down so many times. They've been rejected so many times. So they don't initiate with a big blast like they ought to because they're so afraid. Look at, you know, I have to like nearly get, you know, permission to even ask her, let alone, you know, when I ask her and she says yes. And I'm not talking about force. I'm certainly not talking about going for it without permission.
Sure.
That's off the table.
You're just saying show up with everything you've got.
I am. Like some seduction and some heat.
Yeah. So don't come in with a whimper and just slink away in the dark.
You know,
put it out there.
Absolutely.
I like it. I'm thinking.
Okay. You want to hear something else?
What do you got?
Okay. I think in general, there's something about power dynamics in sex. I mean, this is why people are attracted, you know, to powerful personas in their life. You know, it is kind of the teacher student dynamic or the powerful professor or there's the teacher again, maybe the nurse patient, you know, she is still in control. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something about control and power that's a big turn on, and people could act that out.
So some role playing would
some
be fun for a variety.
Yeah.
You bet.
And my favorite role play to suggest is go meet your partner at a bar. Pretend you don't know each other. Get the hotel room. I think for the record, if you're tired, mommy, go and take a nap at 4 o'clock from 4 to 7, take a long bath, meet him downstairs at 8, all dressed up, pretend you don't know each other, you know, pretend to hook up with each other, go upstairs, have wild sex, then go out to dinner. And then she gets to stay the night all night long. He goes home and takes care of the kids.
Wow.
I mean, that's hot and sexy, and she gets the rest she needs and can be fun.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah. There's not a mommy in this room nodding their heads, but trust me, when I give that talk to young mothers, they all nod their heads.
What about just having a tease night where the goal isn't to reach the mountaintop for either one of you?
It's forbidden.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
Just going to tease and bring ourselves to the edge.
That's that power thing, too, again.
Yeah.
You know, who's in control? You know, one person being in control of the other person's body.
Yeah. Lori, what about accessories? For variety being the spice of life. Can you bring accessories in? Will that spice it up?
Okay, what are... I don't know, Tony. What do you mean by accessories?
I don't know. Blindfolds?
Blindfolds?
Handcuffs?
Okay, handcuffs?
I don't know.
So these are more traditional. We were talking
vibrators?
About power.
Vibrators?
Oh, okay, vibrators. Now, there you go.
We talked about role play, costumes.
Uh-huh, costumes. Those are good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have you been able to persuade many women to do these things? No, I don't mean that for you. Sorry, I mean with your patients. You know, how many couples feel anxious when they talk about that kind of stuff?
I think each couple is different, and I mm-hmm. think the couples that are open and playful and honest about what they mm-hmm. like, it just becomes everyday conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's try this. Let's try that. We tried this. Ooh, we didn't like the taste of that.
Yeah.
And I think each person is coming out of their own paradigm.
People ask me, you know, as a sex therapist, do you ever recommend this, that, or the other thing? And I would say as a sex therapist, I never recommend anything.
Right.
Because I want people to draw from their own inner fantasies and creativity to decide what they want to do. It's not my job to lay out all the different ideas. I mean, that would make them dependent on me, right? I'm the generator of ideas. But since we're talking about it, I mean, certainly, you know, this role play idea that you've said that includes accoutrements, can we say that word? You know, that can be fun. Many times people have, there's different modes of sexual expression. One might be the pulled inside sensory mode. Another is a real interpersonal way of making love where they're looking at each other and laughing and talking. And then this role play is kind of, it could be them, not themselves in their own mind, or they're doing higher variety things. And people have natural native modes. You know, for some people, variety is, that's what they want every single night. For other people, that's kind of salt. You know, they want some of it, but they want these other ways mixed in. And so, again, this is a negotiation of differences. Do they want high variety every night, or do they want something that is, you know, more regular, maybe more sensory oriented on many nights, and then this is a special gig thrown in?
Well, we've teased everybody with variety being the spice of life, and I think what you're saying is that may not necessarily be the case for everybody.
Right, but if you drown everything in cumin, or if you drown everything in cinnamon, I mean, it may be too much.
Right.
For some people, it's too much. For others, you know, can't get enough of that curry.
And for couples to negotiate, that is the important thing, whether there's a lot of variety,
right,
or whether it's too hot or too spicy or not spicy enough. So
right, but tell us one more. Tell us one more, Tony.
One more. Let me think here. I've got such a long list. We're talking about probably things you did back when you were still dating. You were slow dancing very passionately. Every once in a while, there was maybe a strip tease night.
Yeah, I got to say, like, dancing is the number one thing I hear from women. If you're a guy out there, and just take ballroom dance, it's so easy. It's so easy to learn. And learning how to move on the dance floor, whoo, that is a huge turn on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering in general.
Always marry a dancer.
Yeah, there you go. I'm wondering if in, under the guise of variety, we don't really mean the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do that's unexpected? Meet him at his office. Meet her at her office. Mm-hmm. After hours, if she's working late. And that's just an unexpected something. Reach over in the car and begin to initiate
the old
something.
Saran wrap at the door.
Exactly. Or just being met at the door. Doesn't
and
with a saran wrap in your hand, you don't even have to wrap it around yourself anymore. Just something different.
With a genuine, authentic peck.
You bet. Exactly.
That would make Tony happy. That's
show
a great
show up
thing.
Behind your lips. It would be fabulous.
That's right.
I'm thinking about the Mile High Club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've actually had that described to me by somebody who did that. And that seemed like a lot of fun, but really awkward, as it turns out.
Tight spaces.
Tight space.
I'm wondering a little bit about the more edgier things, some bondage, rough sex, biting. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things mix it up a little bit. And how does a couple begin to have that conversation, or just play around the edges of that and see if one or both of you like it?
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we need to talk about that a whole lot at some point. Because the power dynamic, while it's really sexy, I think some people, it can be frightening. And I've certainly treated many people where it goes too far,
right?
You know, where it becomes dangerous. And that can be problematic, too. And so, you know, with 50 Shades of Grey, we've heard a lot about BDSM and bondage and all that. And, you know, it made it seem like everybody was longing for that. But I think what women were really longing for in the 50 Shades of Grey was his attentiveness and his energy about sex.
Great
turn-ons. Those were big turn-ons.
Yeah.
More generic than perhaps the BDSM.
I'm thinking about phone sex and selfies in this day and age with iPhones and
yes.
Androids that are so
Make
prevalent.
Sure. Be careful when you're sending those, though.
Definitely.
You send it to the right person.
Well, we've come into the end of this episode of Variety Being the Spice of Life. We've gotten a lot of good ideas about the whys and the wherefores in the first half, and some very practical ideas to push the edges to keep your sex life fresh and interesting. Lori, do you have a tip of the day for our listeners today?
You know, I think that if you're married to somebody or partnered with somebody who wants higher variety, I think you need to push yourself a little bit, you know, to try something that is within your own ethics, within your moral bounds, but maybe a stretch for you. You know, just try it.
Right. And my tip is a well-worn expression around the house, you got to risk it to get the biscuit. So we'll
Tony, I have no idea what that means.
That's
one more.
All right. You got to risk it to get the biscuit.
Okay. And there we go.
And
Tony's
that's it
tip.
For foreplay today. Radio Sex Therapy. I'm Tony Delmedico, psychotherapist.
And I'm Lori Watson, sex therapist and author of Wanting Sex Again.
We'll see you next time for some more foreplay.
Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.